Hello everyone, how are you doing? If you're new here, I'm Dr. Sheen, an Oxford and Cambridge graduate, a tech entrepreneur and business coach.
And welcome back to Dream Girl. I'm Sheen, your host, and today I'm joined by another host, Shivani Pao. Shivani has a super successful podcast called The Millennial Mind. She's also the founder of The Performance Planner, and she's an executive coach, also a corporate girly who has now been paving her own path. So I'm very excited to hear what she has to say. Hello, Shivani. Welcome to Dubai.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here. I haven't even been here for 24 hours.
I love that. I love the dedication to the podcast. It drew you back in.
Honestly, it was so funny because when we were speaking, I think you said, should we meet at 10? And I think I was like, no, let me have breakfast calmly.
Yeah, I said 2 come. As well.
Yeah, you were said like, 2. No, I was like, no, we'll come for 11. I was literally like, oh, I've got to go to a podcast. But I'm so happy to be here. And this is an amazing setup. So thank you. And thank you for drawing me in with the podcast. I couldn't stay away.
I love that. But what do you think is the difference between being a guest and a host? Which one do you prefer?
I prefer being the host.
Okay.
I have to prepare more for being the host, though.
I agree.
So today I didn't have to prepare, which I actually loved. Mm. But tomorrow I have to prepare for, which reminds me, I still need to do the questions for my guest tomorrow.
So what's your approach to preparing for the podcast?
So, you know, a lot of people ask, how do I get on the podcast, right?
Right.
And what people kind of miss is that I have to be really interested in the topic or the person mm-hmm. in order for me to interview them, because I feel the conversation will flow a lot easier. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily about a step routine in terms of preparation, because I naturally will already know a lot about the guest. Yeah. If I'm interested in the topic, what they're speaking about, their profile, mm-hmm. their presence, usually I'm interested in them. And so what I normally do is just pick up on all the things that I love mm. and try and create a story. Now, when I first started the podcast, I had no idea what I was doing, right? And I think that's with a lot of people. When you start something, you have no idea what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And that can often pull you back from doing it, or you can do it and just kind of figure it out on the way. And that's what I did. So in the beginning, when someone would say, you know, how do you figure out your questions? I genuinely would just Google them, see what was good about them, and then look at other interviews and see what people had asked them, right? That works in sometimes, and my profile grew very quickly mm-hmm. over, you know, last year, not for the first 2 years, it was very slow. But now we're talking about the power of storytelling. And so when I'm researching a guest, I'm thinking, how can I align this into a story that's going to resonate with people? And that's what I'm really trying to do now. I also did not know anything about titles. Mm-hmm. I still, to this day, I mean, a month ago, I figured who Mr. Beast was when I spoke to you. I had no idea who Mr. Beast was. This is how far back in the game I am and how I do not know what I'm doing.
Right.
No idea Mr. Beast was the best creator on YouTube. No idea who this guy was. I looked into him, I realized that his whole aim is to make great videos. And so for me now, my essence and my purpose is I need to just make great videos. We can so easily get sidetracked on, oh, I need to get a sponsorship. Oh, I need to monetize. Yeah. Oh, I need to get more followers. What I want to do is inspire you to be better. And the only way I'm going to get you to do that is if you watch my videos. Mm. And so now it's all about making better videos. And that includes thumbnails, titles, storylines, the questions you ask, the way in which the guest responds to them. So there's so many different elements, but I think before, how I prepared is very different from how I prepare now.
Oh, I love that. Same. But yeah. I was very much the same when I decided to do the podcast. I thought I knew what it was. Mm. So I just deep dived. And then I was like, okay, no, this preparation is bad. It's not giving me anything. I'm just basically going through their CVs. That's just boring, right? You want storytelling, as you said.
For sure.
And then by learning, I started seeing people who would be good at sharing a little piece of story. And that's what a lot of people resonate with. Mm. So definitely agree on the storytelling part of things. But how do you choose your guests then? I mean, obviously, tell me more about the podcast, the name, why Millennial Mind? What do you think is so special about us?
Yeah, so I guess the first question, how do I choose my guests? People always ask this, and it's so silly. It's just intuition.
Yeah.
I really have to feel inspired by the person, genuinely. And it doesn't have to mean they have loads of followers or no followers or whatever. I have to feel that when I speak to them or I see them, I'm thinking, wow, you have such a great story. Mm-hmm. And they also have to be really articulate. I think people forget that. You know, you can have someone who's got a fantastic story. They come on the podcast and they're really not articulate or engaging. And I've made that mistake a few times. And I think the other thing that people miss is what's interesting to me, and this is really harsh, by the way, really blunt.
Yeah.
But what's interesting to me is not necessarily what's interesting to you.
Yeah.
And what you're fighting for and your cause and your passion may be unbelievably great, but unfortunately, I'm not aligned on that. Mm-hmm. And therefore, if I interview you, it isn't authentic.
Got it.
So some people have messaged me and they said, I'm fighting for this. And I'm thinking, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, my key interest isn't within that area. Mm-hmm. And I've already done a podcast that covers what you're talking about in terms of awareness. But I'm not going to do 7 or 8 podcasts talking about this particular topic because I'm not personally passionate about it. And therefore, when we're speaking in an interview, I'm not throwing ideas at you. I'm not asking you
There's
questions.
No back and forth.
Exactly. Yeah. It's literally an interview, mm-hmm. which is me asking you questions. It's not a podcast. We're going to learn from both of our experiences. Mm-hmm. And so I think when people ask how I choose guests, it really is through me researching topics that I'm interested in, mm-hmm. me feeling inspired, and a lot of people recommend, and a lot of people I reach out now as well. Mm-hmm. You know, some of my biggest guests, they've reached out to me, which is amazing. Nice. And I never had that before. So I think that also takes time.
Mm. I love that. Also, I watched your recent interview with Mo.
Yeah.
Mogada.
Yeah.
That was so good, by the way.
Thank you.
And I felt like you were very vulnerable in that.
Very vulnerable.
Right.
So that is a really interesting one.
Okay.
Which did you watch? When I went on his or he came on mine?
When you were on his. I watched the full one on that one.
So Mo Gawdor is incredible, right?
Yeah.
You know, he's just...
His vibe is just so nice.
Exactly. And, you know, I've been watching his videos for a long time now because I first heard him on Stephen Bartlett's podcast mm-hmm. in the UK. And I think that video went so viral because of the things he was talking around happiness. Yeah. He then went on a second time. And then he went on a third time recently to talk about AI.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the AI video, I think, has just blown up on Stephen's YouTube. It's unbelievable. But anyway, I was listening to these three. One random day, I was talking on a podcast. And by the way, sorry, let me rewind. I'd been messaging Mo for about 8 months, 9 months, maybe a bit longer. Well, his team. I messaged him on Instagram. He said, cool, get in touch with my team.
Got
I'll
it.
Be in a podcast. And his team were like, he's in Dubai. You know, he lives here.
Yeah.
He's in Dubai. Oh, no, he's traveling here. Okay, he's in London for like 2 days. Da, 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 da. So they were going back and forth. Now, I manage all of the podcast stuff. Mm-hmm. So I forgot about him, if I'm completely honest.
Yeah.
Because I messaged so many times.
You're not hearing
that
back. Yeah.
I wasn't going to message every month. And I thought, I'll message in another 6 months. Mm. So I spoke about Mo in my podcast and I was talking around grief.
Okay.
And I was saying that what he said is acceptance is always the last stage in grief. And a lot of people take so long to get there, which is what he spoke about on my podcast, right? Mm-hmm. Like you can take 75 years to be bitter and annoyed and upset and then you change.
Mm-hmm.
But what does that do? Nothing. Anyway, I spoke about it in a podcast. And then 2 days later, I got a message, an email from his team that said, Shivani, we would love you to be a guest on Mo's podcast. And I thought, huh? You want me to be a guest on his podcast? And also this was another team member. This is the podcast bookings person. Not someone I've been talking to. I've been talking to 3 people.
Oh my goodness.
This is another person. And I thought, this is a joke. And every time I've got an email, whether it's the TED Talk or a workshop or a guest appearance, I've always had that imposter syndrome of this cannot be real.
Still
to this day, I get it.
Shivani, come on. Even that you thought...
On the day of the podcast, I thought, why are you interviewing me? I asked him this question. I said, why are you interviewing me? For what? And I say this really humbly and not to sound like I'm not proud of what I've done, not to sound like I'm putting myself down, but I really don't understand why he interviewed me. I still to this day, I'm confused. I just don't get it. I still do not understand. Yes, I've built a successful podcast, but also so what? There's 3 million podcasts
in the
world.
But even logically, it doesn't make sense to you.
No.
If you like remove yourself from yourself and just be like, this person, would I interview her?
No, I would not interview myself. Of
why?
Course I wouldn't. No, why would I?
I would.
Why?
I would interview myself.
I would not interview me. For why? Because what? Because I grew a podcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you have interesting things to say.
Okay. Who doesn't?
You're articulate.
Who isn't?
A lot of people.
Yeah. It's interesting.
You literally just said that.
I know.
That's how terrible.
But it's interesting because I think that whatever, you know, I still didn't understand why he interviewed me. And I'm not putting myself down. And I don't want this to be
so you're genuinely still thinking that.
Yeah, genuinely.
Okay.
So what I'm trying to explain is that imposter syndrome is still there for me. And I think that a lot of people, when I'm really open and vulnerable about this, like I was on Mo's podcast, I'm always nervous because people always say that I'm never going to get far if I'm putting myself down. And I guess it's difficult because when I did a podcast with Stephen. Stephen's like the biggest podcaster in the UK, right? Mm-hmm. When I did a podcast with him, a lot of people said that I should have just said that I was always going to do it with him in LA. And I said, no, I'm always going to tell the true story, yeah. which is he interviewed my auntie. I went along with her.
Yep.
I asked him for an interview and he said yes.
And everybody loves, I love this story. I'm exactly. like, I respect the hustle.
Exactly. But it would have made me look better.
If you were invited.
If I was if I lied
yeah.
and said that it was already planned. But this is my point, is that a lot of people say you should do things to make yourself look better because it's going to get you further. Mm. I don't deny that. This is the same with buying the Instagram blue tick.
Agreed.
100%, I would be able to get better guests if I was verified because there is still that status. I don't care if anyone says that there's not. Mm. There is still a status when you're verified. And so I would 100% be able to get better guests, but I won't do it to get there faster because I know it's going to happen.
Mm.
And I don't say that in an arrogant way. I genuinely believe that it will happen for me.
But don't you
order.
Want to just get it to protect your account?
No.
Because protect everyone is getting hacked these days.
I don't think... Everyone's getting loads of bots. I get loads of bots.
Not even bots. Like, people are literally... Like, a friend of mine, she was on 350K, and someone hacked her account.
But...
And she can't get it. They deleted it.
But if you've got Instagram verification, doesn't she mean did. You can't get protected, no?
She did. So, no. So, if you're verified,
yeah.
because they have your passport and everything... So as soon as you say, they will immediately remove access to everyone else and create new access for you. So that's the only reason I did it.
Oh, did you buy it? Okay, yeah. fair enough. But did you openly say you bought it?
Yeah.
Then there's no problem in it. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
What I was talking about in that example is the people who buy it and then say, I got it
of course,
to make themselves look better.
But I don't think people are getting it anymore, right?
What do you mean?
Like
what, buying
being
it?
Awarded it. I don't think you are getting it anymore.
I think you still can. Yeah. You still can.
Okay.
Yeah. You just don't pay for it.
Right.
Which is the thing. But, you know, I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. Like, my story, a lot of people were like, oh, you know, you only got that because you were there at the right place in the right time. 100%.
Yeah.
I'm not denying that. Yeah. I'm telling you openly.
But it's your unfair advantage that you used.
Exactly. And everyone is presented with different opportunities in life. And this is my point, is that if you lie about them, you're only lying to yourself. But as a society, we encourage people to make them look better. Mm. You know, buy a fake bag because it looks like you've got a Chanel bag, which makes you look like you're rich. That's what we're encouraging in society. And that was the one thing for me that I really didn't want to do. And so anyway, my point was, on most podcasts, I was super nervous to be that vulnerable because you get, when you're really vulnerable, you get loads of messages of people telling you yeah. that it's amazing and the story, like with Stephen, mm-hmm. but then loads of hate as well, saying that now I'm going to play on your insecurity.
Yeah, now they know
now
where to
I know
press
what insecurity
the button.
Is,
yeah.
I'm going to play on it. And I was really worried about that. But I think with Mo's, yeah, it was really interesting because I was the most scared to release for him to release that podcast. And it's the most amount of messages I've got.
See?
I still haven't put it on my Instagram that was on his podcast, though.
But you
I
know,
need to do that. I still haven't done it.
I only found it because I follow his podcast. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I didn't know Shivani was on his podcast.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting that you talk about imposter syndrome because your aunt, Reshma, she talks so openly about how imposter syndrome is fake. Right.
Honestly.
But she doesn't mean that how you feel is fake, but it's just that we have been fed and conditioned as a society. I love her story about the bicycle face.
Tell me, I don't know it.
Oh, you haven't. So she did this at, I think it was at Smith College, the graduation ceremony.
Right.
So she was the speaker there and she told the story of bicycle face.
Okay.
Which, so apparently back in the day when, you know, the first cycle that came through was just one wheel. So women couldn't ride that. Then the bicycle came. And women started riding it everywhere, going around, having a little fun. And then men were like, well, now women are able to move too much. We need to stop them somehow. So then the doctors announced that there's this new condition called bicycle face that is affecting women. And when they ride the bikes, they become a bit flushed. Their feet are getting weird. And like their ears, their hairs are getting pulled back. They're getting bald spots. So all of this. And then now women were scared because they're like, okay, we're getting this bicycle face, so we'll stop, right?
You're joking.
Yeah. And then after this, the first woman who joined the medical council ever in the history of humanity, first thing she did was disprove that bicycle face does not exist, okay? And that's when it all went away. So she kind of like compared that story to today's bicycle face is imposter syndrome. We've fed women this narrative that, you know, you're not meant to be here.
Mm.
You don't have anything to show. You're no different to anyone else.
100%.
And then when you're here, you're like, well, why me over everyone else? Because we're all the same. But the fact is, we're not all the same. we each have something unique, we each have something we're working towards, but we've been fed this narrative so often, and we hear the word imposter syndrome and you're like, oh, this is what I'm feeling. Right. And then obviously the feelings are real because of how we've been 100%. Conditioned and society has put it. But I love that narrative.
I love that.
You need to ask her about it.
I've never heard her tell me that. Like, that's crazy. There's so many things, though, I think that people always think, oh, women and men are not that different. You know, we are raised totally differently.
We really are.
Totally differently.
If not by your family, by society.
100%. Yeah. And I think that exactly what you've just said, it's so funny. I basically said that 10 minutes ago in your podcast. You know, well, what's so different about me? Yeah. Why would he interview me? Why
exactly.
And I face that narrative all the time. And on that day I spoke to Mo, I was going through such a difficult day and week. And I just bawled my eyes out on his podcast. You know, I really had to control myself in that podcast. Afterwards, I just thought, oh God, why
wrong
did I say
day
all of that? Wrong day. But is it?
It's
you
not.
Know, we,
it's honest.
So many of us hide how we really feel online because we're so scared of being judged, but we have no idea how our story can impact that one person. And that day when they're feeling that shit and they listen to you telling them and they look at you as like an idol or as a figure, and I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about anyone online. Let's say it's a celebrity or your favorite founder or whoever it is, and they're telling you, you know, I'm really struggling today, it automatically makes you feel better. If you just told me just now, Rashma feels exactly the same way, I would have automatically felt better.
Exactly.
Because I admire her. Mm. And so if you're in a position where you know you have influence on other people, I think it's more important to share those bad days and those insecurities rather than sharing everything is great and good. Because at the end of the day, you sharing something is great and good is not helping someone. It just is not. And if you're constantly trying to get some to a destination, you should always focus on the value you're providing rather than how quickly you want to get there. And that's why I said at the start as well is I'm just not focused on that stuff anymore because I know it's going to happen. Mm. I just really believe for me that the end goal that I want to achieve will happen. It just won't happen in the next year or the next 2 years or the next 3 years that I desperately want it to happen, like right now. You
it's
know?
A slow burn, you know, so it's fine.
100%.
But okay, so this is so interesting, Shivani, mm. because I love that belief that you have in yourself that it's going to happen.
Yeah, I do.
Which is true. Mm. I also think it's going to happen for you. But why is the imposter syndrome there? It's so contradictory.
It is. It's so weird as well. You know, ever since I was young, I've talked about this before as well. I never ever got really like straight A's in school, A stars.
Right.
And weirdly, I've always thought I'm going to be really successful. And I never have to worry about money. And I've never, ever wanted to rely on a man to the point where I think that I actually am really somebody who doesn't want to rely on anyone at all. Mm. Like, it's terrible. And I've realized, I spoke about this with Mo off camera, it's not a good thing. So that's something I have to work on, is that when I get married, we have to help each other rather than like, I don't need you for anything. Like, I'm fine. Like, don't worry about it.
I don't need your help.
Everything has to be like, I have to buy my own house and I have to do my own thing. And I'm learning to do that. And my partner is like the most amazing person ever who doesn't. I think my fear has always been when you watch movies and you watch things online of a man will always throw it in your face if he helps you.
Mm.
And I've been raised as really independent. Like, it's so funny. I'm on holiday with my family right now. And my dad and my brother have always raised me just not to be a princess, right? And my partner is like the opposite. So if I've got a heavy bag, he'll just pick it up and be like, don't worry, I'll carry it for you. And I'm to this day like, oh my God, thank you. That's so nice. Because my dad is like, carry your own bag.
Carry mine as well.
Yeah. So when we got off at the airport, we all had an individual choice. Yeah. I was like, can you help me? He was like, you can do it. And I was like, it's so mean. Like, just help me. I'm just tired. And he was like, I'm tired too. And I'm like, what the hell? My partner's like, naturally will do it. I don't have to ask him.
Yeah.
So it's more of like at first I used to find that really difficult, but now I've realized that's the reason why I'm so independent. It's the reason why I'm so strong. It's the reason why I don't rely on anyone for anything. So it's a good thing and also a bad thing sometimes. But in life, everything is.
Everything.
Right?
Is.
And weirdly, I've always had this belief that I will be okay without a man as well. You know, a lot of in my family, there's such a huge contradiction because there's such an emphasis on getting married for me. Always it's the prime conversation.
Really?
We got into the taxi on the way to Dubai and my dad said, the taxi driver said, my daughter just got married. And he said, how old is she? And he said, 25. And my dad turns around and goes, she's 25, yeah? And then I got so angry, and he was like, "It's a joke. Don't take life too seriously." And I was like, "For God's sake, like, we just got into the cab. We haven't even left."
And I love that it's just any random person got married.
Exactly. It was just ridiculous. Okay. And then we get into, I think it was the airport or it was somewhere. And again, the talk of marriage was mentioned again. It's just all the time. However, my parents have always said, if I'm unhappy in a relationship, mm-hmm. I should walk away.
Okay.
Always.
Okay.
To the point where they're like, you will easily find someone.
Yeah.
You do not need to worry.
Yeah.
So they've installed this like belief in me that I never need to worry about finding mm-hmm. someone. And they've given me that self-confidence in mm-hmm. relationships. But in terms of getting married, they want me to get married ASAP. So it's like very confusing. I'm like, I'm like so confused, you know, like even to this day. Even if I said to them now, my partner is this, this, and this to me, they'd say, you'll find someone. Don't worry. I'm 30. Yeah. But then they also want me to get married. So I'm very confused. So I have, I think also we have to remember in life that life is a paradox.
Yeah.
And you have to learn to manage the paradox. So even though I have a lot of imposter syndrome right now, which I'm sure loads of people do, it doesn't mean you don't believe you're going to be great. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you don't believe you're going to achieve success. And the reason for that, I think, is because the moment and the feeling that I'm having is in the present, is how I'm feeling right now. When you're starting in this entrepreneurial world, there are moments where every founder has talked about that they felt lost, confused, they were surviving. And there's moments where they're thriving. And it's a balance of those two emotions. And that's why I think there's that contradictory emotion of, I know I'm going to do it. I know I'm going to do it. But at the same time, I don't know if I'm going to do it today. You know?
Maybe not today.
Maybe not today. Today I'm struggling. And I've really learned to manage my emotions like that, you know? I think that a lot of people, when they're at the start of their journey, believe that it's going to be a road like this. Because naturally, and if you think about a 9-to-5 and a corporate job,
that's how it works.
It is like
it's
that.
It's a ladder, right?
Every 6 months, you have a, what's it called?
Performance review.
Correct. God, I really forgot what it's called.
How long has it been?
One year, performance reviews. Every 6 months, you have a performance review, and they're like, you're doing well or you're not doing well.
Yeah.
Then the next year, but generally, you're kind of always, you know, doing well.
Because rarely, you're always pushing, yeah.
Rarely, you're going to go down. At best, at minimum, you're going to. Exactly. Mm. So I think for me, it was always this, every year you're going to be doing better and better. And naturally, when you're getting a salary, every month you're getting the same. Every 6 months you get a bonus. And then every year you get a bonus and it's like, oh, this is exciting, a little bit more.
Yeah.
When you have your own business, and this is the thing that I struggled with the most and still to this day struggle with, is 1 month will be up here and the next month will be up here.
Yeah.
And then when someone asks you, how's it going? 1 month I'm like, yes, fantastic.
Best decision ever.
I'm killing it. And then the next month I'm like, I literally can't even afford to get anything this month. Like, I can't afford a meal deal. Yeah. Do you know what that is? Do you have that in the UAE? Do you have those things here? I don't know. Like,
I was also
only gold coffee here, you know? There's no £3 meal deals here. But, you know, there's some months where I'm really struggling and some months I'm doing really well. Mm-hmm. And I've just learned to accept that that is natural and normal.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's very difficult when you achieve something 1 month and then you're going down the next month.
Yeah.
Because in the corporate world, you don't see that.
Mm-mm.
Even if I was the same every month, I'd be okay. It's when it's like really big and then really small that it's such a different emotion to understand. And I think that's what the significant difference is between those two things.
No, I've
digressed so much, by the way.
No, that was such a good point, like the whole managing your feelings thing. So obviously I have imposter syndrome as well, always. And the way I've started to condition myself to think about this was, the reason I'm feeling this right now is because I've pushed past my comfort zone.
100%.
So then it's a good sign, because mm-hmm. The one thing I hate and I'm scared of doing is to just, you know, not push myself and just be too comfortable and therefore not growing anymore. So if you want to grow, you need to be uncomfortable. Therefore, that's when the imposter syndrome kicks in, especially because when you're dealing with something you don't know, you haven't done before, you're not very good at it, it's taking time to learn, then you're like, oh, maybe, you know, I'm not meant for this. I should just go back to my corporate job.
For sure. And that's the thing, is that, you know, for me, when I'm, for example, I learned about Mr. Beast, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know who the hell he was. Then I'm thinking, okay, now I need to make better titles.
Yes.
And that excites me because I'm in a learning journey again. The problem with the podcasting world, by the way, and you might find this, is that it's very easy to become stagnant.
It is.
It's very easy to do the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. And you've just hit 100K, congratulations.
Thank you.
And that growth, I don't know, how long did it take you to get there?
1 month.
From?
17 to 100.
17, right, okay, so that's huge, right?
Yeah.
17K to 100K.
It's not gonna happen.
But that feeling of now is gonna be like, I need to do that again. I need to get 200 in the next month.
You want the hit again.
Of course, you want it. And what's really difficult is that what got you from 17K to 100 is not what's going to get you from 100 to 200. Yeah. And that is such another long process to understand. And that was what it was like for me, because naturally you've been doing certain kind of video, I'm sure, mm-hmm. that's been hitting, right? Yeah. And for me, I didn't have a formula, so I didn't know what was hitting. Mm. So I thought it's just me. Mm. And what happened in my journey, I grew from, I think, 10K to 18K in 1 month. Mm-hmm. By the way, 2K to 10K in 2 years. Yeah, let me just emphasize that. 2,000 to 10K, 2 years of doing the podcast.
No way.
2 years of doing the podcast. Wow. 10K to, I think, about 17 in about a month or 2 months or something, or maybe 3 months, I can't remember. And then from 17, 18 to 55 in 1 week.
Wow.
Because one of my videos went viral and someone else posted it onto their TikTok.
Got it.
It didn't go viral on my Instagram. It didn't go viral on my TikTok. And I remember this so well, because I remember uploading the video on Instagram and then seeing it on TikTok and thinking, did I upload that last night? I don't remember doing that. I was going to do that today. And then seeing a rando do it, and it got 1 million views in 1 day. And I thought, what on earth? But it was the best thing ever that she did that, because people, I commented on every single comment saying,
thank
you.
So that's how you deal with it when other people do it. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And then they all went to my Instagram.
Got it.
I also uploaded that video on TikTok. I got 500 views. Yeah, it's absolutely wild. 1,500,000 is a crazy algorithm. But anyway, so the point is that when that happened, I was really, you know, taken aback. I thought, how has that happened? Then I went from 55 to 85 and then 85 to 100. And I thought, this is crazy. This is going so quickly. I don't understand. And then again, 100 to 120. And then it stopped. And I could not understand why, because I didn't have a formula. Mm. And a lot of people say, oh, this is the formula to go viral. I think it constantly changes.
And it's not the same for everyone.
And it's exactly, what's going to work for you is not going to necessarily work for me. And so that is really difficult to manage. And that's where you feel the most imposter syndrome, because you think,
was it by luck?
Exactly. Yeah. And why is it not working? I'm doing everything that I'm trying. I'm trying everything under the sun. Now I'm adapting. Now I'm changing. And people don't like it. So what is it? Mm. And then you think, it's not me, it's the algorithm. That's the hardest part. But yeah. It is you, by the way.
Thanks.
If you feel that.
But how are you dealing with this? You know, the fact that I know right now you are really working on starting your own channel.
Yeah.
And you know when you don't see the result immediately and you have to grind kind of like in the dark and people are not seeing the content in it. How do you keep yourself motivated?
At the moment, in the last few months, I've been feeling really burnt out, if I'm honest. I've been feeling really, really, really exhausted. But last week I had a bit of an epiphany. Ooh. And similar to what you just said, I realized that 2 years of saying that I started and built this podcast is not good enough. I want it to be 5 years. You know, I worked for 5 years and it grew and it blew up. And it's really difficult, because you do see some people within 3 months, 6 months that put in the work and they blow up. And that's fantastic. But you have to remember there's just like basic principles in life. And one of them is, when you work long and hard for something, it feels unbelievable.
Yeah.
It feels so great. And for me personally, I know that when I was going through that period of 2 years and I was not seeing any growth, when I got that growth, it was the best feeling, because I finally felt I was being recognized for it, right? But there is so much power in hustling and grinding and working every day and night to make something better, because you're not doing it for the clout. You're doing it to make yourself better. Mm-hmm. And this is what people miss, is that for those 2 years when I was working and I wasn't seeing any growth, I was still trying to make the podcast better. And that's why I believe that when I meet people who are excellent in their field, they see something within me. Because if I was doing it to chase the virality, chase the algorithm, do a jumping TikTok dance, and let's say I met Stephen Bartlett and I had 200,000 followers, but I had 200,000 followers from posing in a bikini or doing a TikTok dance, I don't think he'd given me the same opportunity.
That's fair.
And I think that's what we're teaching now, is just get viral, just get famous, instead of be the best in your field and get good at your craft and get in a journey where you're learning and you're enjoying the learning process. So for me, it's all these numbers and everything. What does it mean? What's it going to give me? So let's just say, for example, I'm hustling and you're grinding, right? So let's say you're feeling demotivated.
Yeah.
Ask yourself, when you're feeling demotivated, what are you doing it for? You've got 100K. Okay, now I'm going to give you 200 tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So
then
what do you want?
You want more.
But why?
I mean, for me, I'm just hustling because I want this to become my full-time thing.
So you want to get paid?
Yeah.
Okay, so how much do you want to get paid?
at least match my salary.
At least match your salary, yeah? That's it. And you'll be happy.
I'll be happy. I'll quit.
I bet you £1 million right now you will not be happy. £1 million. Everyone was watching this, yeah? If it matches your salary, you will not be happy.
Okay, done.
100% not. I matched my salary last year.
And you, that's when you quit?
No, I quit when I didn't have...
No way.
No. Okay, when I quit, all I had, and I said, this is all you need to quit your job. All you need to quit your job is proof of concept.
Okay.
You need to have a plan that will show you that the thing that you want to quit, so for example, with the podcast,
yeah,
I needed to have proof of concept that I was gonna make money from it. Mm-hmm. And the way I needed to do that is, am I already making some money from it?
Got it.
Not am I matching my salary? Mm-hmm. So I had different income streams, right? Yes. From the podcast, I started my performance planner. So I was getting money from there, mm-hmm. which is a journal and a planner. Everyone should get it.
Yes, it'll be in the link.
And then the third thing from that was coaching. So I was already doing, you know, I was a consultant. So I was then doing strategy coaching with people. Mm-hmm. So that was another thing. The other thing was executive workshops. Mm-hmm. So businesses were calling me in for me to speak. So yes. I was already getting income from there, right? And then the fourth thing was Instagram. Mm-hmm. So if I was already making money on YouTube, right? So if I was already making a little bit of money in these things, then if I had more time, could I scale it? Mm. And yes, I could. And that's what happened. I matched my salary within, I think, 2 or 3 months of quitting. Right?
Oh, wow.
So maybe then it was very quick. It was very quick.
Okay.
The point is I was not happy. And you never will be happy if you match your salary. Ever. Because also matching your salary, you have to remember you have to take tax into account, right? So you have to match your salary.
We don't. Oh, please.
Fuck's sake, living here. I'm moving now. But in the UK, let's say you're earning £4,000.
Yes.
You then have to actually earn £8,000 because of the tax.
Of course.
Right? So you don't have to worry about that problem. No. But a lot of people do. So you have to think about that as well.
Yes.
But the other thing is, it's not just about that, because once you match your salary, yeah, great, you've done it for the first 4 months. Then. Flipping heck, in January, it was like, no, actually January and February was good. March, it was like dip. Mm. And I thought, oh my God, now what? If you accumulate it, I've actually earned more in my year of quitting than I did in my corporate job.
Okay.
If you accumulate
it's just not constant.
It's just not constant, but I've earned way more. The problem is that 1 month when you're hitting, you know, a big number and then the next month you're not, it's such a loss. And you think you're not good enough because you think, if I earned that last month, why am I not earning it this month?
Where's it gone?
What's happening? Yeah. What am I doing wrong? How can I change? Mm. So now going back to the question of, you said you'd be happy when you hit your, when you match your salary, impossible. You will not be, because you're always going to want more. So, and then also, now I ask myself this question, why do I want more money? Mm. For what? So why do you want more money? If you match your corporate salary, okay, you'd be happy.
I quit my job then, right?
Okay, and then you quit your job. Okay, then the next one, let's say you double your corporate salary.
Yeah.
Then would you be happy?
Of course.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And then that month, then that would be your base. So Mo Gowda on his podcast, he told me the story. So they did, there was a study that was done on people and they asked people, some people earn 5,000, 10,000, 15,000 pounds a month. They asked all these people, are you happy? And they said, no, he asked all these people, how much money would you need to be happy? Mm-hmm. And they all said double it. Mm. Every single one of those people said double it. So at 15,000 pounds, they wanted 30, at 10,000 pounds, they wanted 20, and at 5,000 pounds, they wanted 10. But those people at 15,000 pounds once had 5,000, they would have said double it and I'll be happy. The point is that with money, it's a number. You will never, ever be happy. And that's why these platforms work, like TikTok and Instagram.
Yeah, there's always more.
Because you're chasing a number. Mm. I said offline before we started this podcast, when I first started the podcast, all I ever wanted was 10,000 followers so I could have a swipe up link to my podcast.
Same, yeah.
Instagram, you know, added the link option, so you didn't need to worry about that. Mm. But I still wanted 10. And that feeling when I got 10, I remember it so well. I was in Marrakesh on my friend's birthday. I was in the bathroom and I got 10,000 followers. And I didn't want to tell anyone because of her hair, and I didn't want to be like, oh, I got 10,000 followers. But in the bathroom, I was like, I got 10,000 And then I remember when I got 100, I remember at 85, I was growing so quickly that everyone's like, you're going to get 100 before Christmas. You're definitely going to get 100. And I remember, or 100 before the new year, and I got 100 before Christmas. And I remember feeling so happy that, my gosh, it's happened. Mm-hmm. And now when the number goes up, it's, you know, it doesn't mean anything.
No.
And I've realized, and now I'm thinking, when I get the million. And all I ever say is, when I get the million, and I remember I met somebody and she was a football manager of all the biggest football stars. And I said to her, can you introduce me? Obviously, I'm not afraid to ask anyone. If I meet someone, I'm like, can you introduce me to the person that can interview them? And she said, how many followers do you have? And I think at the time I had 110. And she goes, not good enough. You need 1 million. She goes, here's my number. And you get 1 million. Okay. Call me. look at whoever you want. And now I'm thinking, okay, when I get a million, then I'll be able to get this guest and this guest and this guest. I've realized it's just never ending. And so I can always work towards a goal, but I will always be unhappy when I get there. It's all about the journey. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say to you that I don't care if it doesn't happen for me the next year now.
Yeah.
I really don't. I hope it happens to me in 5 years' time.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it happens to me in 10 years' time. I hope when I'm 60, I'm the new Oprah. And I'm happy to I'm happy to wait till then. Because at that point I can say I waited 30 years to do this.
Mm.
And I would have that strength within me to overcome anything because I've built myself up for 30 years.
And that's a great story.
It's a great story.
Yeah.
We're getting to a point now where we're pushing people in positions that they're not ready for yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember who told me this, but when you don't get something, you're not ready for it yet. And it's so 100% true in my life. When I've wanted an interview with someone, when I've wanted to get a job, when I've wanted to earn a certain amount of money, my mind is not ready for it. My ego is not ready for it.
Mm.
And I really, really believe that. And we're in a position right now where I see loads of people rushing to get to this number. And for what? You have to really ask yourself, for what? Because
mm-hmm.
we all think that more money will make us happy, more followers make us happy.
Yeah.
It'll get us invited to the best parties. It'll get us invited to the best whatever. Think about what it's going to do for you. It's just not going to make you happy. And I've accepted that now, and I'm so fine with it. My podcast with Mo, you know, my Instagram, I think has like 400 likes or 300 likes. I've never, ever hidden my likes on my profile.
See?
I've never bought my followers. So even if I sometimes get 80 likes, which has been happening recently, mm-hmm. by the way, my content is not landing.
Mm.
I don't care. I put my best foot forward to make that content. And if people don't engage with it, it's okay.
Yeah.
Because I know, because I was in this position before.
Mm.
I remember being in a position where I was really pumping so much time into the podcast. I was getting like 50 likes, 40 likes, 30 likes. And I would sit there and I'd think, what am I doing wrong? I've got such big guests. You know, my second season, I had Sid Malia.
Yeah.
You know, and I was thinking, what on earth? You know, in my second season, I had Nadia from Indian Matchmaking, when Indian Matchmaking was like
blowing up.
And I thought, what is happening? Mm. Why am I not getting it? And the reason, there's small things you can do. And now I've created a checklist of things that I need to make sure that I'm improving every single time.
Mm.
And I'm not going to be able to improve everything. I'm one person. But it's all about trying.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about pushing. And it's all about the growth.
Oh, I love that. But just to push back on that, you know, because nowadays a lot of people, whenever they're starting the journey with content creation and stuff, it's a bit of like, how do I sustain myself financially when I'm trying this out, right? Because of course there's the big numbers that we're hitting for.
For sure.
But then there's also the early days. How do you make sure, for example, me last season, I thought, so season 1 and 2, I recorded in the UK. Season 3, first time I was going to do it here. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to spend money on it.
Book
a studio, do like good editing, push it out, see if it's working. If it lands, then I'll do season 4.
Yeah.
And season 3 worked amazingly well. And I was like, okay, now it's worth it. But I came from that place of privilege where I had the money to do this, you know? So then it's a bit of like, because I always get these questions, people ask for advice when, if I'm not making money from the content creation, when do I know that I should stop now?
Look, a lot of people ask me this as well. And there's two answers, right? One is, if you're in a position where you're going out on the weekends and you're telling me this, I have absolutely no sympathy.
Yeah,
for
no
you.
Sympathy.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going out and buying a cocktail for £20 or however much it is here, I don't care. You should not be doing that. And that's my very blunt and harsh truth.
Of course.
Do not do those things. The other thing is, there are people who obviously, in the UK at the moment, there's a massive crisis.
Yeah, right? Cost of living.
You cannot afford to pay your rent, pay your bills and your mortgage or whatever it is from your job and then afford to do another thing on the side. And that is also just, unfortunately, there's nothing I can say to you on that because I would never ask you to borrow money or take a loan out or whatever.
No.
The good thing I would say is that with content creation, it's free. So you can make a TikTok and you can blow up and you can get a brand deal, right?
Mm.
You can make a reel and you can blow up and you can get a brand deal.
Yeah.
And in those situations, if it's really something you want to do and it's your passion, then you will make the time to do it. Now, the mistake is when people ask me that question, I ask them the same question is, what are you doing it for?
Mm.
I didn't start this podcast to make money.
No.
And if I did do it to make money, then my content is not going to be pure and genuine and authentic.
Mm-mm.
And it's not going to land because I'm just doing it to make money.
Mm.
And that's what everyone's doing now.
Yeah.
So if you're doing it to make money, then you need to understand that you're not going to enjoy the process because you have to treat it like a job.
And money is not going to come in that easily.
Exactly.
So how do you keep yourself going?
So, but you're doing it for money. Mm. So they're different things.
Yeah.
So if you've got a corporate job and then you're doing this on the weekend, you're going to burn yourself out because you're not enjoying this process. Mm-mm. I was enjoying my process and therefore I wasn't burnt out and I kept myself going.
Same, yeah.
So that's the problem, is that if you don't enjoy it and you're doing it for the wrong reasons, in the sense of you're seeing it as a means to an end, then unfortunately it is going to feel like that to your audience. Mm. It's like when people online are going to promote things that they don't necessarily use, you're not going to
gain. You can tell.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what that's going to do is you're doing it for the money. Mm. So then just openly say, I'm doing it for the money.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're different things. If you want it as your corporate job, ask yourself why. And if you 90% of the time people say it was easy money.
Yeah. It is.
And it's not.
No.
Because you're not going to make easy money from something that you find difficult and you're not passionate about. Mm-mm. And it isn't easy. Do it, because otherwise you'd be doing it every weekend and not be burnt out.
Exactly.
So it's a difficult question. I think in terms of like the genuine people who are really passionate about it and are finding it difficult, you have to remember that, like I said, it takes time. You'll look at people online who will say, I started my YouTube channel and it blew up within a year. Mm. That's unbelievable. If it makes you feel any better, I've been doing this for 3 years. I've just started a new YouTube channel and I've got 255 subscribers.
Woo.
Like, I'm not monetizing from YouTube.
Yeah.
And I still make the videos every single week. I'm going to go back right now to my hotel and upload the video, right?
Yeah.
The point is that when you do something, you have to remember that when you're starting from scratch, it takes time. And we forget that. We're in a society where we want everything to happen very quickly. We're used to the instant gratification. But think about 5, 10 years ago when you start a business, you wouldn't make money straight away. You have to invest. And at what point do you invest is probably your next question, which is at the point where you're kind of good at it.
Mm.
If you want to start a podcast, I would never recommend anyone jumping straight into a studio.
Agreed.
Because you're not going to be good at it. Start on Zoom, which is free.
Which is where we all started.
Exactly. Yeah. I started on Zoom. Same. Then go on Riverside, you know, and then move into a studio and then start doing it. But you're seeing everyone doing a podcast now because they think that that's how they're going to make money. And the problem is like, it's just so inauthentic because people are copying other people's journey when they forget that they have their own. We're always trying to find a blueprint out there.
Mm.
You are the blueprint.
Yeah.
Create your own blueprint. Who would have thought 10 years ago that someone could make a living talking into a mic? Right? Who would have thought it?
Talking on a couch, having a chat.
Madness.
Yeah.
Who would have thought you could send a picture of your feet and sell it for £10,000?
Right. Have you been asked yet?
No. The world is mad. I do get asked if I want like £50,000 a week if I want a sugar daddy.
Sometimes it's really I've been tempting. Asked for toes pictures.
Really?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's tempting. I'm like, I could use that £50,000 to get
a really
nice
studio.
Same, I was
like, I'll just find a picture from someone else.
But the point is, I think that you've got to figure out a kind of journey and a plan and what you want to achieve. Mm. If you started on something and it's working and it's not getting loads of attraction, be really hypercritical on yourself and figure out why. Mm. Is your content good? Is it boring? Is it your delivery? Is it your lighting? Is it the marketing? Is it the sound? Is it the intro music? Is it the outro music? Is it the logo? Is it the thumbnails? Is it the title? What is it? Is it the caption? Mm. What is it that people aren't liking? And you know the way you can do that? Ask your audience.
Yeah.
I put it on my story box all the time. Same. What do you like? What don't you like?
Same. I get them to vote on thumbnails and everything now.
So that's what's really powerful, is you have to figure out what isn't working and fix it. No one is born being the greatest in any field. And it's really hard when you're starting because you think, I don't want to ask people because they're going to tell me and I'm not going to be good. You're probably not good. And that's okay.
You need to learn, yeah.
And, you know, this is the really great thing that I learned from Mr. Beast. He said, everyone's always talking about the algorithm and saying that the algorithm isn't working for me. No, actually, an algorithm is an audience and you're not delivering good content for your audience. So there's nothing wrong with the algorithm. It's actually your content.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's the harsh truth of it. Yeah. And when I accepted that, I looked at my solo videos on Sunday and I actually thought, these are crap.
Mm.
These are, am I allowed to swear?
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, it's crap a swear word, I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know, these videos are totally shit.
Yeah.
I wouldn't watch them. So why am I expecting someone else to watch them? So now what can I do to make them better? I can either stop because I'm embarrassed and I don't want to ask for help.
Yeah.
Or I can get another editor and say, can you help me?
Yeah.
Can you make them better? And again, they're not the best. And I just love the comments on my videos because I have, like I said, like 200 subscribers. And you always have like one or two people saying, oh my God, I can't believe this video only has like 5 views. This is such a good video.
So
and I'm
supportive.
Like, oh, thank you. It's a random person,
yeah.
You know? It's so nice. And you know, you have no idea how your comment, how your like, and how your sharing of someone's post can mean to them. And back in the day last year, I remember all my reels would get at least like 300, 400 shares. Like so many people would share my content. And this year it's maybe like 10, 20. But I still, every time someone shares it, I think, so kind of you.
Yeah.
I love it.
Same for me. It's not the likes or the views. It's the saves and the shares. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, I love seeing that.
It's so nice.
Okay, I have a final question for you while we wrap up. And I think this is something I'm asking for advice generally. But how did you see your social circle change as you became more famous? And how did you navigate that?
It hasn't changed.
It hasn't changed at all?
No.
No way.
No, it really hasn't, honestly.
So you're lucky.
Really lucky. And this is why I did a post on this and it was really controversial. Everyone went really mad at me. What I said, I don't know if I should say it again because I might get attacked. What I said was, and I'm going to say it all in full, so please don't come at me before you hear what I say. When I was in school, when I was in university, I was always aligned to my friends in terms of our values. And I never believed any of them were fake or horrible or mean or any of that stuff, right? I genuinely have been really lucky. I haven't had that bitchy group of friends in my life. And so the friends that I have from school, I have till this day. You know, we're still just as close. And those friends I had at university who were my friends, but we went in different paths because I was also a really different person when at university. I used to go out a lot, I used to party. And so I'm not in that kind of circle anymore, right? And also we lived far. When you have school friends, they live kind of close to you. So what I said in one of my interviews was, it worries me when I meet somebody and they say, I haven't kept any friends from any circle that I've ever been in, because I almost feel that if you're blaming other people to say all my friends at nursery or school were horrible, all my friends at secondary school were horrible, all my friends at college were really bitchy.
Sounds like you're the problem.
And all my friends at university, they were all so bitchy. I'm kind of like, oh, okay, well, that worries me a little bit, because if you're always seeing the negative in people and you're always pushing people away, then, you know, that kind of makes me doubt, okay, what are you seeing in them? And, you know, how are you towards them? That doesn't mean, you know, people in the comments are saying, but I'm autistic and, you know, I get nervous around other people. That's not what I meant. What I meant was, if you're saying everyone was bitchy and I'm so nice, I don't understand why people don't like me, because everyone's so bitchy.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
That's what I was saying, right? But God, people blew up in the comments. And I guess my social, back to your question, why my social circle hasn't changed, is because I really believed I had really strong friendships. And so my friends from school and university, when I haven't seen them, last year, I really didn't see my friends. Even this year, I maybe see them once every 2-3 months. I don't see them often.
Yeah.
And my friends are so supportive and they understand how hard I work and they are completely on board with it. You know, they never ever say to me, you know, you're so selfish, you never do it. Because I always make time for like their birthdays and their weddings.
Yeah.
Right? But when they're hanging out on the weekends, I don't see them because unfortunately I don't have time.
Yeah.
And so I will always make time for them. But I will never just use every weekend to see my friends.
Yes.
Right? And they've understood that. I haven't perhaps been the best friend sometimes because I'm not always there or I'm not always available. But when I'm with them, I spend all my time like being present and I won't be like on my phone. Like for my birthday, we all went away and I just didn't go on my phone for the weekend. Yeah. It was so lovely. But my social circle hasn't changed because I've always had like that value within my friends. And we've always been friends because we are connected by like the heart. I know that sounds really lame and weird, but
that's beautiful.
Really, I feel that we're all so connected, and that's why whenever I've done something great, they don't care. They're so happy for me. They're the most supportive. By the way, all my friends, you know, when I was on a billboard, they all came to watch, and they were so proud of me.
It's like you had a little party outside of the billboard.
But afterwards, we all had dinner. And no one cares. You know,
no one's gonna gas you up more than that.
Exactly. That's it. They're just like, cool. And when we, you know, sometimes when we're walking and someone says hi or someone recognizes me, they're like, that's so funny.
Same. Like, everyone is so cringing. Hilarious. They're like, oh my God, you're actually famous.
And my friends, like, it's so funny when people ask if I'm friends with you, she's just like, yeah, what do you mean? Like, I've known her from school. That's so weird. But, you know, they're always going to see a different side of you, you know, and it's sometimes I don't see what other people see in me, but you have to remember that whatever you're saying and how you've, you know, created an impact on your audience is how they're going to feel. Mm-hmm. And your friends are perhaps not going to have that same impact.
No.
You know, your friend's not going to feel that impact, sorry, because they're not in that position that you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that my mind really hasn't changed. I've made obviously new friends like in this influencer world.
It's amazing, isn't
but
it?
I haven't really lost anyone, no.
Okay, well, beautiful.
Yeah, have you?
I mean, no, so my close friends haven't changed.
Yeah.
But I did see some weird interactions with, you know, the more like outer boundary friendships.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah,
they
yeah.
don't but really deal real with friends. The fame really well.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I would get messages like, you know, virality doesn't last. who would have thought that you would blow up?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
How interesting.
Right? I was like, I thought...
Did you?
Yeah.
I never thought I would.
Really?
No.
I knew it was coming.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
See, that's why my journey is so up and down, because I'm like, I always knew I was going to be successful, but I never thought I'd blow up. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't know how to feel about it.
I knew it was going to happen, but I didn't know it would happen with what it happened with.
Yeah.
I knew it was so unexpected that video blew up, but I knew it was coming.
Yeah. How many million is it on now?
14.
Madness. It's absolutely crazy. Well, you've done so well. And,
Thank you.
I'm so happy to have been here.
No, of course. Any parting messages?
I think the number one thing I would tell anyone who's listening is just have belief in yourself. There's always going to be someone telling you that you're not good enough. You're always going to have that inner critic telling you not good enough. But there is something special within everyone. And you've got to figure out what that thing about you is. I'm still figuring it out. But one thing I know about me is I have the ability to allow people to open up. And now I only know that. And I've reflected on my life and realized that people do that. And now that's what I realize is my skill. And so everyone has a skill. It might not be directly what you're thinking it is. So people always tell me, oh, you're really well spoken. I don't necessarily think that distinguishes me from anyone else. But the ability to meet a random person and for to open up and tell me their deep, long, like lifelong story is a skill.
It is.
And so that's what now I'm honing in on. And, you know, every single person has one. So just find yours.
I love that. And also I would add to that, that there will always be someone to say no to you. Don't be that person for yourself.
Ooh, very good.
Yeah.
Love that. So nice.
Well, lovely note to end this on. Thank you so much for being here, Shivani.
Thank you.
And I hope you have a great time in Dubai.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.